Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And for the next 2 hours, or not far off 2 hours, we are continuing our series of local election debates. And our focus today is going to be on Lifford Stranorlar, as you may well be aware. Six seats available. There are 12 candidates contesting. And to give everyone as fair an opportunity to speak as possible, we have split this area into two, as we have had to do with a number of them. And we have two people who declined. Independent Niall McConnell was invited. He wasn't available or didn't want to come. Gerry Crawford, Fianna Fáil, declined, unavailable or didn't want to come. I'm not really quite sure of the reasons, but we still have a very interesting panel for you. Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael, Rebecca McDade of Aintu, Frank McBurtie Jr., an independent, Charles Ward, 100% redress, and Tony McDade of Sinn Féin. And hopefully you'll get to hear from all of them over the course of the next while. So what we'll do is we'll do what we did so far, and that's give everyone an opportunity for a minute or so just to describe who they are and why people might vote for them. And I'll go anti-clockwise and start with you. Good morning to you, Rebecca McDade Aintu.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Greg. My name is Rebecca McDade. I was McNamee. I was a self-employed hairdresser for 18 years and I retrained as an SNA. I now work as an SNA and a PA as well. And I decided to go with this for this election this time because we had actually originally thought about going to Australia and we decided against that, and it was time to stay in Ireland and fight the cause here in Ireland and try and support our people here.
And we'll hear more from you as it wears on. We'll go next now to Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael. Garvin.
Yeah. Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners. My name is Garvin Connolly. I'm from Kerrygordon. I'm actually a special needs educational teacher and also a farmer. I actually would have ran in the 2019 election. It was very unsuccessful. I've worked in the farming sector and as a farm advisor and community development over the last 22 years. And one of the things that I would have seen was the lack of services and the lack of signposting for the various organisations. And it was one of the reasons I actually wanted to stand here, was to help keep people on the ground to source information and services and to help them in terms of local services, what's available to them, and how to maybe increase those services locally.
All right, thank you very much indeed. We'll hear from loads more from Rebecca and Garvin over the course of the morning. Tony McDade, standing, of course, for Sinn Féin.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning, Tony.
My name is Tony McDade. I'm one of three Sinn Féin candidates contesting the local elections in Lifford Stranorlar, LEA. I'm one of 18 candidates, Sinn Féin candidates across the county, seeking election on June the 7th. I'm a Strabane man originally, but I've been living in Lifford for over 50 years. Over those 50 years, I've been a Republican activist. I've worked in Lifford Clonley Resource Centre, a community development project, for 4 years. I moved on then to work as project coordinator in Rafoe Family Resource Centre for almost 20 years. So I've had over 40 years' experience in community development and early intervention and prevention and family support. I was previously elected to Donegal County Council in 2004 to represent the people of the Liddy Kenny electoral area. And I'm standing this time because, like many others, I want to see change, and I believe only Sinn Féin can deliver that change. The change starts on the 7th of June with the local and European elections. I'm asking people to vote for me because we need strong Sinn Féin representation in council, working closely with deputies Pierce Doherty and Paddy McLaughlin in the Doyle. We need to deliver the change that is so badly needed. We're the party with a plan to fix the housing crisis and deliver under 100% redress for those affected by the defective concrete blocks, and to provide effective healthcare services and to invest in local communities.
Okay, we'll get through all that, of course. Councillor Frank McBurtie, a sitting councillor, of course, independent. Why are you standing? Why should people vote for you?
Well, first of all, good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. I've been an independent councillor now for 11 years out of the 15 on Donegal County Council, and I have been a full-time public representative for those 15 years. I actually gave up the family business to go full-time. But why should people vote for me? because I am the only frank and honest independent voice on Donegal County Council that will hold the council executive to account. And I'm asking people who to vote for me, number one, on June 7th, to ensure that that independent voice is still in Lifford. And I'm asking the people, the many people that have helped over the last 15 years in particular, to come out and vote for me, number one, because I need your number one vote to ensure that I will be re-elected and that I will be able to still continue to hold the council executive and power sharing agreement in Donegal County Council that does not hold that council executive to account. And that's what I stand for. I stand for the rights of the people of the Lifford's the Northern Municipal District, which is known as East Donegal or by some as the Fun Valley or by others as the Lagan Valley.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Frank. Charles Ward, standing for the 100% Redress Party. Good morning, Charles. Why should people vote for you?
Hi there, my name's Charles Ward. Good morning, all the listeners and viewers. Why should people vote for me? Well, I'll just give you a brief outline of who I am. My name's Charles Ward. I'm from Armagh Island, County Donegal. I was raised in Armagh till I was 9. My father's a tunnel tiger killed in 1986. I was away then for nearly 11 years, moved back. I'm married to Angela Ward, who's also from Armagh, and she is the deputy head, assistant deputy of Finn Valley College. And I am affected by defective concrete. And we have a home that we built in 2003. It's ruined. We have four kids. And we are not getting any help from anybody. There's a scheme in place that's a scam. And we've had enough, and at local level, there's nothing. So I was a former member of MAG. I was in there for a year. I left because I believed that the 100% Redress Party are the party that people need to give the number one vote to. Mm-hmm. I think that we need representation in Lifford, and we need to get rid of what I consider a boys' club down there.
Right, OK. Well, we'll tease that out. Obviously, defective concrete's going to come up. You left MAG. MAG, does MAG not support the 100% Redress Party? Just to explain,
yeah, I'll explain.
Briefly, if you don't mind.
MAG is apolitical, OK? So, apolitical, they have no affiliation to any party. Mm-hmm. So, my wife is the PRO of MAG.
OK.
She's still in there, Angela.
Understood.
You'll see her videos, and that's why... That's the
I get it. Yeah, no, it's okay. Just it was not a gotcha or anything. It was just curious.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest areas, of course, of the area we're talking about is Ballybofey, Stranorlar. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, what's going to be done to get further investment into it, development into it, to sort of reduce the vacancy and derelict levels in this. This is something I think you've earmarked, if I'm not mistaken, Rebecca, as something you're very interested in. Do you believe that up until now those in this area haven't done enough for Ballybofey, Stranorlar?
Well, when you take into consideration the bypass for Ballybofey, the most important thing that we have to think about is the business people and how we're going to work the infrastructure around that. There's a car park there beside McElhinney's that, and it's my belief that within the council that they want to change that for a seating area mm-hmm. outside there. And I think that that would take away from the business people. We know how important it is for parking beside your business for every age group, from the young and women with the mothers with young families and children, to the elderly needing to go into the likes of Cost Cutter for the post office, and all of those range of businesses that's there, they need people to get quick access to the business. Some of it will be maybe only 10 minutes in the door and they're out again, and others maybe that wee bit longer. But I think it's very, very important that we keep the parking spaces there, and I'm sure that there will be other alternatives. So I would like to be able to work with the business people there and being able to put their point across and trying to liaise with them to make sure that we get a fit for purpose works done in Ballybofey.
Well, Frank McBurty, do you think up until now maybe the councillors elected to represent this area haven't been doing enough to sort of address the concerns of the people in that area?
Oh, without a doubt. First of all, the power sharing agreement restricts us from asking the questions that we are elected to ask, because they're all in there blowing kisses at each other and clapping each other in the back. to protect their positions, protect their mayors, to protect their deputy chairs, protect their chairs, etc. And it's all about protecting the executive, which we should be holding to account on a daily basis in Donegal County Council. But meetings are not the place where you actually do the work. Where I do the work is in my office on a daily basis, which I have based at my home, because I can't afford to have an office in Rafal full time because I don't have the same salary as a Dáil deputy. But the work is done on the ground outside the meetings. The meetings have become just a publicity area for politicians passing motions that have no legal standing in law. And I think you know that and understand that by interviewing people about motions, that the motions that are passed in Donegal County Council, they're a complete waste of time.
Yeah, but just in relation to the sort of the basics, you know, and whether the work is done in someone's own office or done behind the scenes, whatever, like even something like the junction there at Trusk Road in Ballybuffet near Super Value. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace, you know. And people would say, well, you know, people are coming knocking on my doors in Ballybuffet, Stranraer and other areas looking for their support. And, OK, some issues are beyond local politics, but if we can't get local councillors fixing local roads, what's the point?
Well, first of all, I have to disagree with you on that point, because I can take you around the constituency and I can show you what I've done.
Mm.
So if you want to come out now, well, after the show, I'll take you around.
I'll take you around to the
Green Pass, the St Eunice National School in the Glen and Rafal, St Johnston, areas in Ballybuffet and Stranraer. So you're incorrect about the fact that councillors are not doing their job, because I certainly am doing my job on a daily basis. When people come to me right up to 12 and 1 o'clock at night with really serious issues.
Okay, what do you think, Charles? Is enough being done to sort of, you know, look after the people of this area by those elected? Would you promise to do anything if you took a seat? I mean, I presume you're not a single issue candidate.
Not a single issue candidate, no. Like, you know, I'm in the area, I'm active in the area, and like Ballybuffet and Stranraer, you just look at it. You go through Stranraer and like, you know, apart from Andy's and all the other shops up the top of the road there, there's nothing that actually happening in it, because there's no life in it anymore. You know, everybody is everybody, like across the road, there's the shop that Kiernan's used to have. It's affected by defective concrete. And that used to be a hub for people to come. They could get coffees, they could get teas, nothing there anymore. But you go into Ballybuffet itself, and across there we've got the Butt Hall sitting there, empty, you know, needing to be done up. It should be done up. And they're on about the car park across there. And why would you move a car park out from a place where people are making money?
I think the idea is, and it's not necessarily for me to make the argument, is that this is, you know, a multi-million euro redevelopment with alternative parking that will attract, you know, a huge footfall into the area where those businesses actually are. You know, cars don't buy things, people do, I think is the sort of...
Yeah, but people need to drive cars to get in, okay, to go and buy things.
Yes, go ahead. Excuse me. 1 second, just Rebecca first, then you, Frank. And I want to bring our other two guests in as well. Rebecca, a brief one on this.
There maybe wouldn't be as much of an issue if we had better weather in Ireland, but unless there's going to be a canopy or an umbrella,
I think there actually is, you know.
Then that's, you know, okay. But at the end of the day, to sit out in our weather, I don't think people will be too happy for that.
All right, briefly, Frank, before I bring Tony.
First of all, you've brought up an issue about Ballybuffet and Stranraer, and it's very funny that the Stranraer councillors that are elected are not sitting in here in the studio today. I'm the only sitting councillor in this studio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the public will be asking the question, why are the four other sitting councillors not in here in the studio answering the questions, why they're allowing Letterkenny MD...
Don't
interrupt me when I'm speaking, please.
Frank,
I won't interrupt
Frank,
you.
I don't want this to be about knocking heads, but we have to have respect for
the four other people here as well.
Here. Yeah.
First of all, you interrupted me, right? I'm making a point.
Yes.
Our area has been swallowed up by Inishowen and by Letterkenny MDs, because the politicians in our area who are in political parties do what their power sharing agreement tells them what to do, because Letterkenny has to get everything, and so does Inishowen.
Okay,
if you look at the funding going into Letterkenny and look at the funding that's going into Inishowen, and you compare it to the funding coming into our area, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah. Okay, Tony McDade, you know, listen, if I only ask questions about people's own backyards, this would be very specific, right? And I presume the people believe that if they vote for a councillor in this area, that they're not only looking after their own backyard. So I do think going across the electoral area, there's justification for that, because everyone's looking for votes from right across the area. But not we don't have to be specific to Ballybofey, Stranorlar. It is talking necessarily about the roads, about the simple things that they believe people are texting in saying the council should be working on. And they say, whether it's right or not, that they believe the council should be doing more. Tony.
That's a fair question, it's a fair point. I mean, I can understand people's frustrations. One of the issues for me in Ballybofey and Stranorlar is the traffic management. I think that's a big difficulty. Hopefully with the 10-10 project, when it comes on stream, it might alleviate that. I've always felt Ballybofey and Stranorlar was a good shopping town. We use it fairly regularly. So I certainly have had no complaints on the doorstep about Ballybofey and Stranorlar. Maybe Councillor Gary Doherty, my colleague, hopefully, and after the 7th of June again, he may have those issues, but certainly on the doorstep, I hadn't heard it mentioned.
Right. And we'll get on to...
Centre of Excellence for Sport in the county, yeah. By the way.
Yes, fantastic. Garvin Connolly.
Greg, one of the issues that has been addressed by a few of the candidates here was the whole access. I mean, I would have come across a number of business people that brought it to my attention in the town and were not happy with this new piece of... Well, I walk out in front of their shops in the main for Cote in terms of access. I mean, people need to be able to get to their shop very quick in terms of, I mean, I talked about the number of people coming into the town here and, you know, the local access. I know there has been a number of vacant buildings, but you have seen for you have another knocks over the last number of months. There was a number of vacant buildings sold there. To boost the town, you have a base centre there in times of COVID. You know, you have a number of hubs there and it's one of the things that needs to be addressed in terms of to have it hit more to draw people in. I mean, there's a centre there, the base, it has internet access and there's a number of hubs that's available. I mean, there's two large schools in Ballymofey with a number of children and which come into the town each day at dinner time. I mean, there was buildings there with Cairns that was lost here in the town as well now with the micro issue and all those there's scope in the town for major development, a lot more shops, etc. could be brought into town to keep people there.
All right, OK. Listen, we are going to be speaking about the big issue of defective concrete next, as many of you are texting in relation to that. We do have to take a short break, but stay right where you are. We'll be back more with our guests in just a couple of moments. OK, you're very welcome back to our local election debates. We're in Lifford and Stranorlar now. I'll just go clockwise on this one from where I'm sitting. Charles Ward, 100% redress. Many, many areas of the county, all areas of the county affected by this, not least in the Ballybofey or Lifford, Stranorlar area, should I say. What would you hope to achieve in council to progress the campaign?
Okay, so my way moving forward with this, because we have to move forward, I feel that the council and the councillors that are in have done nothing for the people that are affected. I have been affected with my home since 2010. I believe that there's a void in there and that in the next few years, what I back, I know Frank doesn't back it, but what I back is the people's document. And when that's coming in, we need a voice at the table. We need voices. That's why we're running six candidates. We need everybody to give us the first vote and to get us in and to stop this boys club and the backslapping and not allowing people to come and talk about their problems. Like we had a thing down in Lifford there a few, maybe a bit over a year ago where the councillors were all outside, okay? And we showed up and there was maybe 10 yards and there was only a few of us in it. But then when we started to get angry and confronted the councillors, they sent over Mr. McGarvey, who at the time must have been about, he was in his 80s, and fair play to him, he came over to address it. But then I just said to him, with all due respect, sir, these people over here, as in the boys club, should have come over. Not one of them. And then we went in and people were allowed to make statements in the council chamber, and that was the first time that it was taken seriously. Mm-hmm. After all the marches and everything we'd done, it was the fact that people got angry. you know.
Tony McDade will probably argue, and will come to him, that, you know, Sinn Féin, through Paul McLaughlin, through Piers Doherty, the commitments from Mary Lou McDonald, that it is that party that will be able to deliver 100% redress. That's the claim they're making. Do you question that? Do you believe that's not to be the case?
Yes, I'll tell you why I question it. Piers Doherty has said on record that he will remediate, fix everybody's homes and their sewer tanks. But that's it so far. And then they'll develop another scheme. That was said at the People's Document down in Buncrana. Okay? So that's not 100% redress. So people need to say that. Sinn Féin need to stop saying it's 100% redress. Their candidates need to stop saying it's 100% redress, because there's only one party that's wanting 100% redress, mm-hmm. and that's the 100% redress party.
All right, Charles, we'll come back to you, of course, and we'll hear now from Councillor Frank McBurty Jr. You wouldn't be of the view that 100% redress party, Sinn Féin or any others, I'd imagine, are the route to delivering justice for those that are affected.
Well, no, see, what do you call it? I have never said that.
No, it's a question, Frank.
And the bottom line is that, what do you call it? I'm not against Charles Ward or the 100% redress party or any campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy that has been used has failed. And it's good to hear and hear now every day that this has been called defective concrete, because that's what it is. It's not mica. And the scientific evidence is sitting here in front of me. My father's foundations here for everybody to see. Foundations and blocks, internal sulphate attack in the blocks, external and internal sulphate attack in the foundations, is the cause of this disaster in Donegal. Full stop. Predominantly by pyrrhotite and other sulphates at the permitted level of 0.1% above that. But I have to say this, I don't agree with Charles' interpretation that I am against the People's Document. I'm against the strategy that has been used. Now, myself, and this is not about me, this is about me and homeowners and other property owners that are affected by this. And I'm an affected property owner, I'm an affected business property owner, I'm affected family members, relations, cousins, friends, constituents. We're all affected by this. We're taking the judicial review that the political parties have refused to debate in this studio about. And if you're serious about educating the public, you'll bring in the experts from our side and bring in the government experts, and you'll put them round this round table, and you'll get them to debate why they invented the mica myth, and let our experts contradict their mica myth.
Now, pardon
because
my,
mica is not the cause of the structural defects.
Pardon my ignorance. It seems to be now, and as I say, I could be misreading it. It seems to be...
Now, judicial review is a big word they're scared of.
I'm going to ask you about that. But it seems to be general consensus that it is defective concrete, not mica per se, that those that are affected by it, they want their foundations changed, they want their rising walls changed.
No, it's not rising walls. Anybody who's in the building game, it's called a subfloor block, 12-inch block.
I'm only just saying
and
what
they need to stop
saying.
Calling it rising walls, because people are getting confused.
I get you. Yeah. So you're on
ask any good builder that I've worked with over the years.
Okay. So what do you want me to call
it? It's a subfloor block.
Subfloor block. I'll call it a subfloor block
if
you want.
And your cavity wall blocks.
Okay.
And your inside block is your load-bearing
part of
your
house. So my point is that there seems to be, regardless of what it's called, a general consensus that the defective concrete is the foundations, the subfloor block.
There's the evidence.
I know that, but what I'm saying
black
is...
Black and white.
That seems
can't,
to be...
circumstantial evidence cannot supersede forensic evidence.
My question I was going to ask is that seems to be everyone concedes that that's the case now, right? So what is... Like, what are we missing that you're saying is there? Because everyone accepts now...
Page 22 of my position paper, it quotes Charlie Joe McGinley, what I said in the council meeting, when we were presented with a mica block by the then chairman of the mica action group. Yeah. We all believed it was mica at that time.
I get you.
The big question mark in a public inquiry, that's what should be established.
So
why they created this as a mica scandal when it's not? Because they wanted to reduce the cost of what it's going to cost to demolish everybody's homes,
understood.
Which an engineer can only recommend full demolition. And Charles will tell you that.
So Frank, just to be clear.
His results, my results, my father's results, my poor mother and father, 80 years of age, Jerome Hughes, your brother did a fantastic podcast. 20,000 people have viewed it in 2 days.
Very good. Now, just one final question on that, though. I mean, I think a lot of people will recognise that you were saying a lot of this stuff first, right? But are we
yes,
not?
Yes, because I'm an expert proofreader. Okay. I read the documents that other councillors didn't read.
Okay, Tony McDade, what's your view? You heard the criticism of not the criticism, but the scepticism, I think, or cynicism from Charles Ward that your party's not really actually. It's not accurate in campaigning to deliver 100% redress, that there are gaps there.
Well, I was at the meeting in Mulcrana that Charles refers to, and I clearly heard Piers Doherty say that when Sinn Féin's in government, they will ensure 100% redress for all principal primary residences. And he mentioned an end-to-end scheme with full remediation and accommodation costs provided by the housing agency. That's what I heard, that even from Piers. And I don't agree with Charles about the Donegal County Councillors. I know Albert Doherty, for example, and Jack Murray, for example, have been very, very strong advocates for those who are affected by the concrete blocks. Frank mentioned the judicial review there. A review could take up to 2 or 3 years.
That's not true. We'll come back to that in a second, thanks.
For you to take a judicial review, I mean, Piers Doherty and Paddy McLaughlin aren't significantly impacted upon to take a judicial review.
Does that mean, sorry?
Their homes haven't got defective concrete blocks, so they can't take the judicial review. It has to be taken by somebody who is affected by it. As regards to the debate, Patrick and Pierce constantly take it to the chamber and the Dáil. That's where this is going to be fixed. And you know, fair play to them. I mean, I don't think anybody can disagree with when they start in the Dáil, they're very good orators. They're really good speakers, and they're taking the message there, and that's what's going to be fixed. Those are things that you know.
You were at that meeting, yeah. But and I think it is important that the public is clear on this, that Sinn Féin do not want they have not 100% endorsed the 100% the people's document. Sorry, mm-hmm. There are elements of it that they haven't endorsed. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just so it's clear, because people might think, oh, well, Sinn Féin fully backed the people's document. They don't. They certainly, for private homeowners, they're there, but the document goes beyond that.
But what they said that evening was that the starting point is ensuring 100% redress for all principal primary residences and for those who have one additional home. That's the starting point. That was the starting point.
Okay, so right, starting point. Right, yeah. We'll come back to that, because the couple of points I want to pick on just have to be fair to everyone.
But I want to come back at some stage.
No, of course, I've already pointed that will happen. But I just want everyone to have a fair crack. Everyone has an equal right to speak and stand and get a seat, regardless of whether they're incumbent or a new candidate. Garvin Connolly, Fine Gael.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be very brief on the matter. For Frank and Charles here are experts in the field, actually. And one of the, I mean, my personal thing is, I mean, this 5 years ago when I ran, this was an issue. 5 years down the road, it's still not solved. I mean, our home was our castle here in Ireland. And this shouldn't, I mean, this is one of our, I mean, this is affecting most families the same as cancer is.
Did that make you think about, given the lack of action over the last 5 years between running then and running now, did that give you any cause for wobble running for Fine Gael, as Fine Gael is the government in power at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I mean, I have my own mindset. I mean, if certain issues I believe in and if certain issues I don't.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you can't. It's not fair, no, is it, to no, have, no, the, par- no, the, to party, have the posters, the party machine behind, yeah, you, yeah, and yeah, then all of a sudden say, well, no, see, I mean, on, I mean, some the 100, issues...
100% redress team needs to be sorted out now, and not in 5 years' time, given when there's the next direction. It needs to be sorted out now over the next number of months and year. I mean, there's people going. I mean, people's mental health and well-being's at stake here, and it needs to be sorted out. I mean, all stops should be pulled out. I mean, if this was in Kerry where the hayway is, it would have been sorted out now.
All right, Rebecca McDade of Ain't Do. I suppose your party position, your position on this.
Yes, we support the 100% redress. 100%. The people of Donegal, regardless of where you are, At the end of the day, their mental health has been affected by all of this. And we bring it down to the mismanagement, really, of going into the quarries and these blocks and the concrete blocks has not been, obviously they have not been tested. So we have to go right through to people who failed in their positions. Again, the men will have more information than what I do, but my point is, when you bring it back to the effect on the people, we cannot turn our back on the people any longer. This has got to be stopped. As with everything, people power is massive, and people power is what changes everything.
So with that in mind, why not then vote for 100% redress and not aim to?
Well, because we support that.
Yeah.
In, you know, 100% redress, they are forced, they are they're fixed on that particular issue. That is something that's very, you know, strong in their heart. They will, of course, be involved in every other issue to do with the county, but they are steadfast and they are particular in their cause. So we support them 100% for that.
Right. Frank McBurty, judicial review take too long, 2 or 3 years, and it can only be taken by homeowners.
That is incorrect. I've been involved in 3 judicial reviews against Angarda Síochána. And the Enda Craig has been involved in a very high-profile judicial review in 2013 concerning the Mobile Sewage Treatment Scheme that was tried to be ram-raided down people's throat in Mobile by Donegal County Council. And the EU Commission stepped in when Enda lost that judicial review. So that is incorrect. And Tony would need to be look up his legal issues, because it was all right for Thomas Pringle and Piers Doherty to take a judicial review in the public interest in 2000 for the 2010 by-election, and the monetary fund issue that Thomas Pringle took on behalf of the public interest. Now, that is completely inaccurate. A judicial review will force the Irish government to get rid of the problem we have, and the problem we have is the defective concrete block standard invented by Donegal County Council and consultant engineers representing the Mica Action Group, who put together a defective concrete block standard for reactive pyrite in County Mayo and Mica in Donegal. We are restricted to using that Irish standard to test our homes for an incorrect reason that's not causing the structural defects in our homes. Mm-hmm. And the judicial review will force the public inquiry that we need. It will force the Irish government to abolish what they should be doing.
Okay.
You have to understand this. Now, hold on, let me finish this point.
Okay,
the National Standards Authority of Ireland, the National Standards Authority of Ireland adopt the EU Directive EN771-3. That's the standard for concrete blocks in Ireland. Why is our homes not getting tested under that standard? And Donegal County Council are using that standard to test all new properties that they're building
just,
in Donegal
just
today.
Just a quick question, because the science we're being
told...
That
is incorrect about a judicial review.
Just,
I've been involved
that point.
In 3 very high-profile judicial reviews.
Frank, you just said that. Just so I'm clear...
there are legislators,
okay,
they can take a case.
Another question.
No, there are legislators, they can take a case.
You won't let me ask a question, Frank.
I make this
you
very important point.
You won't a question, Frank.
Are they our legislators?
I don't know. I'm not answering questions. I wanted to ask questions. Like
Piers Doherty's our legislator.
You won't allow me to ask you a question.
Piers Doherty's our
legislator. So that is fine. That is absolutely fine. If you don't want
Piers
to answer...
Piers Doherty, Padraig McLaughlin...
If you don't want to quote me to ask you a question, I won't.
Well,
that's fine.
No,
no, because every time I do, you're speaking over me.
There are legislators...
That's fine. That's
fine.
They
can take a okay. review.
That is fine.
I don't come in here and debate this properly.
If you don't want to engage with me... That is fine. That is fine, Frank. It doesn't matter. I want to give everyone a fair opportunity. If you don't want to engage with my questions, that is fine. That's fine. That's up to you.
You don't want to talk about a judicial review properly.
You've just talked about a judicial review for 4 minutes?
On the 31st of May, Friday night.
Okay.
And you'll get to know all of it.
Right, so this is just about plugging that. It's not about a debate about these issues then. So, well, I respect the views of everyone around this table and I want to hear them.
I
want to hear them. Charles Ward, 100% redress. I suggested that the People's Document didn't get the full backing of Sinn Féin. I think at that point you wanted to come in and I want to give you an opportunity, if you wish. It's not to pile on Sinn Féin.
So I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example, okay? So let's say now... Frank has a semi-detached house that Frank bought for a pension, okay? And I'm a tenant in there. And Frank's got his own house, okay? So Frank's house is defective. That could get fixed. But see the house that I'm in that Frank has? That can't be fixed. This is what I'm saying. This is, if it was 100%, everybody's house, everybody's garage, everything gets fixed. You know, you've got to call this out. And it's up and in a show. They're actually going around canvassing for Sinn Féin, saying that it's 100% redress, when it's not. And you've got to call it out the way it is. Got to be truthful.
Okay, and to be fair, Tony, because there's two people calling you out, you're confident, and with your conversations, you're saying that this is a starting point with a view to broadening the scheme. But why not? Why not have it in the manifesto for the last election? Why not have? Tease it out more now. Now's the time, you know, because we talk about the amount of stress that people have through this. Well, now would be a time for a party to say, don't worry, because if we come into power, we're also going to do that second property, or if someone dies in the process, we have a plan for that, so that whoever inherits that property can continue on in the scheme. Do you know what I mean? Why is that information absent, do you think? And you're not here to speak for everyone in the party, but you are a rep standing for the party.
Oh, I think so. I only can reiterate what Peter Sturdy committed to that night. That was Sinn Féin and government will ensure 100% redress for all principal primary residents. Now, my understanding of the 100% redress may be a wee bit different from Charles. There are people out there who can't get on the scheme because they haven't got the finances. This is only a grant scheme. It's not full 100% redress. That's my understanding of what the 100% redress is to do with the finance and the funding. I've been in quite a few number of houses during the canvas, and people have said this scheme, like the last scheme, isn't any good to me. I haven't got 10, 20 thousand euro to make up the balance. When I talk about 100% redress, that's what we're talking about.
Did you want to come in there, Rebecca?
I just wanted to give two examples of what I have been hearing on the doors. And I have a lady who actually sent me this message. She said that she's in a semi-detached house. And she had asked if herself and her neighbour could pay the $3,500 each, because it's technically the same house to them, mm-hmm. because it's one building. Mm-hmm. And they were told no. And to be able to get on the scheme, that it had to be two separate tests. So that was a cost of $7,000 each. So the problem is, in that particular situation, one house has been deemed that it has to be demolished, and the other side was told that it was just an outer leaf. That, the common sense has gone completely out the window.
Are those private properties?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But that common sense has gone completely out the window. That one block will be built with the same blocks. There's no way that anybody could argue any different there. Mm-hmm. And it's this type of unsensible situation. The other example that I have is of a family who needed to rent, were told that the contractor was coming in to do the work. They secured a house, which is extremely hard to do because there's no houses available. Yeah. And they needed a four-bedroom house because of the size of the family. That family secured the house and paid the rent for three solid months. And the contractor came back and told them that they weren't going to be able to start the house. Mm-hmm. They had to give up that house after paying 3 months' rent. That is totally and completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Is that, to some extent, are you saying then that the allocation for rent should go beyond 15,000? Because I suppose what the contractor chooses to do is a little bit outside the remit of...
Regardless of the money, Greg.
How do you resolve that?
Well, regardless of the money, the situation that the people are in, they're told one thing, we're coming in to do your house on a certain date, you need to secure somewhere to rent. And it's extremely hard to get somewhere to rent. And then when they do, like this person has been in the situation, it didn't go ahead. So they paid for 3 months' rent and they didn't get the use of the house and had to give the house up because they can't afford to pay rent while they're not moved out of their own home. And their own home, they don't even know when it's going to be started. So naturally, when they have a big family, they want to stay in their own home as long as possible until they have absolutely no other option but to go when the contractors are going to come in.
Okay, this is obviously a very significant subject and people have lots to say. We're going to get through other things as well. A lot of people asking about other issues, not least CDNT employment levels in the east of the county and much more besides, but I know Charles, amongst others, wanted to come back in on that, but we do have to take a very short break. The weather, then a break for the news, and then we're clear pretty much for an hour to go through this issue a little bit further, and of course to move on to some other issues important to people in the Lifford-Stranraer area. Back in just a moment.